All right, if you will, please open to the book of Hosea. Hosea. To the right of Psalms, you'll find Ezekiel, Daniel, and Hosea. There's not a lot of sermons out of the book of Hosea. I think that's a shame, but I think I have some understanding as to why. The truth of our sin is exposed in this book as plainly and as clearly, as accurately as we can handle. It's put into brutal, honest terms. What we are in our birth, it's on display. Our lewdness is on display. Public auction block. And the purpose of God to save a people. All the performing of all the work, from deciding to do it, from choosing the people, in His wisdom, the knowledge He has in planning out in His providence just exactly how to save those people, maximizes His glory, and it's greatly for our good. Nothing could be better for our good. The performance of it and the preserving of it. Of salvation is absolutely, completely all of the Lord from start to finish. That's why most people don't like to preach out of Hosea. It's a beautiful book. It's one of the clearest pictures we see of Christ redeeming His church in all the Scriptures, as plain as it can be for us. Some of the commentators, I believe they've erred. And they say that this is just a parable. This is just a story that was given to us to explain something. I firmly disagree. As Hosea was a prophet. Gomer was his bride. Gomer did what she did. Hosea lived up to his name that his mommy and daddy gave him. The deliverer. He delivered his bride. I think the Lord made that come to pass. In this earth, in reality, to give us a picture. Just to show us what He's done for us. Hosea means deliverer. Same name as Joshua. Same name as Jesus. He saves His people. He delivers His people. Gomer means consumption. Or completion. Complete death. Her father's name was Burnt Branch, dead tree. She's complete dead. And through her Redeemer, through her Deliverer, through her Hosea, she's complete in Him. That's the only source of completion for her, the only hope she has. In chapter 1, verse 2, we see here the wedding announcement. Hosea 1 verse 2. In the beginning of the word of the Lord to Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. You take her, you take all the offspring she has. It's yours now. For the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. This wife of whoredoms. Hosea didn't go down to that town and say, I think that one's got some potential. I think maybe she's probably the better of the stock. I can make something out of her. She was just like all her brethren from a land of whoredoms, a people of whoredoms. Nothing in her appealing, nothing in her that was potential, no worth, no value. This all happened in physical time here. The Lord spoke to His prophet. And He said, you go marry a wife of whoredoms. This is a picture for us of time past. Before the foundation of the world, God the Holy Father spoke to His Son. And He said, I'm going to make a whole people just like you. Now you go to them. And you take you a bride. The announcement was made. And then in chapter 2, here's where we come in. Here's where we physically enter the picture. chapter 2, verse 2. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they will be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, mine oil, and my drink. This is how we entered this earth in our natural birth, in our physical birth. Scriptures say we come forth from the womb speaking lies. We serve ourselves. We look after our oil, our flax. I want all the things to dress me in, all the comforts, the foods, the drinks, and the anointings, the oil. We think something in this world provides it, or we think something worse, something in us provides it. All of us enter this life the same way. And sin must be punished. Sin must be punished. The Lord will remain just. But never forget, before we came on the scene, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, went and took a bride. He loved her. He loved His bride before time was. Then here in verse 6, the Lord deals with us in providence. This is our condition. This is His planning. This is the wedding promise, the wedding vows. Chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. People call that fate. That's the Lord's sovereign providence. I'm going to go to Hawaii. You might not. There's a whole lot between here and there. I'm going to walk to that door. I might not. The Lord sets walls around His people. He hedges them about. And she, verse 7, she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was then better with me than now. Just like that prodigal son. He's out there in a hog pen, eating hog feed. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father's house. At least his servants, they eat better than this. They eat better than these hogs do. Lord's providence and everything in our lives turns us, hedges us about. There's thorns in the way. He directs us directly, puts us exactly where He'd have us. Right to Himself. It says in verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. He gave us wine. He gave us oil, the flax, and everything. And what do we do with it? In our ignorance, in our natures, we burn it to false gods, thinking it was ours. The Lord provided that. He provides for His people. But He gives us oil, and then He also removes it. The things that we trust in, the things we think are ours, will be chipped away. It'll be whittled away. He goes on there saying that He's going to take away all those things and He's going to discover her. Verse 10. Now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. Whenever all of our vines are gone that we thought we've planted, when all of our oil's gone, all of our wool, everything that we think is good, all of our pleasure in it. That's a big payment. People are always concerned about money. I do a whole bunch of stuff because I like to. Gomer could have been in her profession because she just enjoyed it. All the things that we enjoy, we find comfort in, is going to be removed. And the Lord's going to expose our lewdness. And no one will deliver you out of His hand if He chooses to show your lewdness. If He's going to come to you in the Holy Spirit, that Comforter comes and convicts of sin in our hearts. You can run for the hills, you can run for the mountains, you can run for the ocean. You ain't going to escape him. He will perform that he's intended to perform. But he takes all of our resources that we provide for ourselves. What we think's ours. Ain't nothing ours. What we think. And he removes those things. And he shows us the false religion that we once thought was jewels. We thought it was earrings. These things that adorned us. But all it was forgetting the Lord. Every bit of it. Look there in verse 13. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and her jewels. And she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. All these adornings, these jewels, pretty earrings, we thought was good. We thought this world gave us what we gave ourselves. The Lord said, all that's forgetting me. We're in a bad spot, ain't we? Then he comes to us. We're made low. We're made humble. And this is all the promise of what's going to happen. He chose the people. And here's the vow. So these are the things you've done. And here's what I'm going to do. My providence is going to bring you all the way down to Christ's feet. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Rock bottom. Brought all the way down. Humble completely. Stripped of everything that we thought was good. And the Lord said, I'm going to allure you into the wilderness. I'm going to get you all by yourself. And I'm going to speak to the heart. Comfortably to the heart. And then he was going to restore everything she had. I'm going to give you vineyards. You burn up them other ones. They'll be rejoicing. I'll give you youth back to you. Verse 19 says, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. How I'm going to do this, how he's going to be wed to his bride will be holy. It's going to be holy. I will betroth you unto me in judgment. All judgment will be satisfied, and that judgment will be final. To be eternal, and in loving kindness and in mercies, tenderly, with great care, with great mercy, forgiveness is how he will betroth her unto him. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. You're going to be faithful to the Lord, and thou shalt know the Lord. That's his promise. He loved the bride. His promise to keep him. That's the Lord speaking through that whole second chapter. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He's going to use Hosea to do it physically. That's what he's going to perform. That was the engagement we saw there in chapter 1. These are the vows. The Lord said, you're going to wander, you're going to stray, and everything in this universe is going to be performed and function exactly to draw you to me. Put you right where I want you. And now we're going to see the action. Or this playing out. Or the wedding ceremony. This is when Gomer comes to find out about it. This is when this actually takes place. Here in chapter 3. Hosea 3. Beginning verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go, yet. Love a woman beloved of her friend. Yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. Who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. It says there in verse 1, the Lord spoke to him and he says, go yet. Go again. How does the Lord come to us again? He came to us in eternity past, didn't he? He loved us then. He vowed to keep his people then. He entered into a covenant with his father. He loved his bride. He loved his Gomer. And now here she is destitute. We came into this world born destitute. She's destitute, and the Lord says, go yet. Now her paths are hedged about. Now that thorny way has put her exactly where she is. Her lewdness is exposed. She's on an auction block, naked, for sale. She has no worth and no one to care for. And he says, go again. Now go to her. Got her right where I want her. She's in a place of need. She's not a place of pride. Not a place of clean living. I think I'm good enough now to go to service. That woman's in need. She's a beggar, a mercy beggar. Why would Hosea go there to get Gomer? He must go get her. He made a covenant with the Father. He must keep his word. Christ must keep his word to our eternal Father. But Gomer was on this slave block. She was in bondage. The law said she must be sold. She's in captivity. She can't go to him. It's an impossibility. What binds us that we can't come to Christ on our own? The law binds us. That's what's put between us, isn't it? We're bound to the law. Slaves to the law. We're bound to this nature that we were born in. This family of whoredoms. Nature of sin. We're bound to sin. We have no desire and no ability to come to him. Our Hosea must come to us. Hosea, deliverer, you go. That's what the Lord said to him. It hurts my heart. It offends me. I get mad sometimes and I get a little more poppy than I ought to be. But it hurts me. It pains my heart. People say, God's just waiting and hoping you come to him. God's not waiting, and he is not hoping that his bride comes to him. He seeks his lost sheep. He gave that parable. He said, which one of you have 100 sheep, 99, you leave them, and you go for that one lost one? Go yet. Go again. It says, go yet, love a woman. I thought long and hard about that. Physically on this earth. Hosea, go act like you love that woman. That was a mighty miracle of God's grace to that man. He loved her. Hosea loved Gomer. But he didn't say try. He didn't say act like it. He said, go love her. Love a woman. Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend. That friend there is Hosea. She is loved of Hosea. She does not love Hosea. In the timeline of this story, whenever they first met, she didn't love him. They had those three children. She didn't love him. When she left, she didn't love him. Whenever he was sneaking up there at night, find out where she is. He's going to leave a little bit of oil out there. Leave a little bit of money out there. Make sure she got through the day. She didn't love him. He loved her. Beloved of a friend. He loved her. We have a friend that's closer than a brother, don't we? Our deliverer, our redeemer, our Hosea. Christ loved us when we didn't love him. It says, yet an adulteress, while we are still in our sins, without love in our hearts, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were at enmity with him, hating God, Christ came to us. We didn't like him a little bit, and then he came to us. In the depths of our rebellion against the Almighty God we offended, that's when Christ comes to us. You go love this woman. Go love Gomer. According to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel. This is the same situation. This is the same love, and this is the same salvation in Christ for all of God's elect, all of His spiritual Israel. This is how He does it. This is His pattern. He sets a watchman on the wall and they cry, come. And that spirit comes to them. Teaches. Some people say, well, now I don't really think I was on an auction block. I did some bad things, or I did okay under the law. I'm bound to it, but I didn't do everything, but I didn't break the whole law. And I'm not completely naked, and I'm not completely worthless. I'm bad, but I'm not a prostitute that's on a slave block in handcuffs. That's not me. God hasn't come to you yet. God hasn't exposed His lewdness to you. Well, I've been saved, not according to His word. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pierce your heart, convict you of what you are, of who Christ is, and what He's accomplished. So we'll come to us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many not mighty, and not many noble are called. So easily we read through that and we say, well, yeah, there's not a whole lot of brilliant people. There's not a lot of tremendously mighty people, and there's not much nobility that the Lord sends His word to. That can also be read how that not everyone that God calls is wise. He didn't only call mighty. He didn't only call nobility. He's not a respecter of persons. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That, here's the reason. Poor, nasty, despicable Gomer. God said, that one's mine. He saved her, didn't he? Our master walked this earth, and oh, they just thumbed their noses up at it. Did you see who he's eating dinner with? Look at that. Sinners. Publicans. That woman come and washed his feet with her hair and her tears. He's anointed by people that just disgusted everyone around them. And he did it on purpose. That's the people he saved. Why? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. If I was mighty, if I was noble, if I was wise, I'd have something to stand in, wouldn't I? Are you weak? Are you base? Are you despised? Are you a fool concerning the wisdom of God? If not, I pray He makes you that way. I pray He crushes everything you put your hopes in. I'm back in our text here in Hosea 3. Verse 1, Hosea 3:1. Then said the Lord unto me, go, yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who looked to other gods and loved flagons of wine. Every one of us, we look to anything that's not Christ. Ourselves, our idols, other gods, and we love flagons of wine. We were drunk on our pride, drunk in our self-righteousness. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. Physically, Hosea was purchased Gomer for a small amount. Brother Hawker said in his day, this was about 1 pound 7 pence. $1.07 back then. What would that be now? $10? Less than the cost of a cheeseburger? An omer of barley and a half omer of barley. That was the large, rough grains. They probably didn't even weigh it. That one that was auctioned her off just wanted it. That ain't even worth paying for. 15 pieces of silver. That was a small amount. There wasn't a bidding war going on. Understand that? The price didn't get jacked up. There wasn't a slew of people there trying to get a good price, but they really wanted Gomer. There was one bidder. One that was kin, wed before eternity. One that was willing to do it, to bear that shame. This is God's prophet. Go take back his cheating wife. She's ruined herself. And he's able. He's able to buy her. Her deliverer, her kinsman redeemer. Physically, earthly, the story that transpired, the worth of Gomer was very low. It was 15 pieces of silver. I won't have you turn there, but in Exodus 21:32, there was all the laws given about slaves and lending and all kinds of things. And it says there that if an ox were to push a manservant or a maidservant, that means if it butts, if it takes its horn and knocks him into a ditch, the owner of that ox must pay that manservant or maidservant 30 pieces of silver. If a cow hit one of you kids, that man owes me twice as much as Gomer was worth. What a shame. What was the payment for us, earthly? Just what happens in this earth for us to be brought to Christ. Turn over to Isaiah 43. I quote this a lot, but it's good to read it. Isaiah 43. Earthly, for you and I to be purchased, to be hedged about, to be brought to Christ's feet, what does it take? Just in providence, just on this earth. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Gomer was purchased by Hosea. Not every one of them on that auction block. By name, Gomer. And she was purchased, she was redeemed. As the Lord redeems us. Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. We're honorable. The only reason we're honorable, the only reason that Gomer was honorable, the only reason I'm honorable is because I was precious in his sight. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Pestilence. Viruses. Pandemics come upon this nation this past 12 months, hasn't it? Lord saved his people from that. I got to witness that. I got to hear about it. That was exciting. Somebody's schedule changed because the work couldn't be open, or they got closed, and that child had to go stay with somebody else. And while they were staying there, that family member was listening to a preacher on TV, on YouTube, because they had to live stream. So they could keep her. Lord saved that woman. He sends all these things. Sends wars, don't he? Taught me and you some stuff. Says halfway around the world to teach us one little thing of what we are. What a Gomer I am. Nations. That physical nation of Israel was wiped off the face of the map so the gospel could come to us Gentiles. Millions of people. Earthly, that's the price. For us Gomers. Spiritually, what's the price? Go back a couple pages there in Isaiah 40. Spiritually, what was the price of our purchase? Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak to their hearts. He'll draw them to the wilderness. He'll speak comfort to them, as he promised he would Gomer. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. She's been purchased, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The price for this Gomer's got to be double what I'm worth. I think it's beautiful. I think the Lord showed me something here, and I hope you all stay with me. In Matthew 26:14-16, Judas Iscariot went to the high priest, and he said, "How much will you give me for him if I turn him over to you?" Y'all looking to get Jesus Christ of Nazareth, "I'll turn him over to you. How much will you give me?" And they went into a covenant. And you know how much they paid Judas? 30 pieces of silver. Double what I'm worth for all my sin. Christ was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the shame of the cross for his people. He had to bear the sin that put me on that auction block. I earned it. I earned the shackles. I earned the ugliness, the shame, and he took every bit of it in our place. Substitute and satisfaction. It's a two-word gospel, isn't it? Filthy, horrible. If we saw that right now out in the parking lot and it was a normal occurrence for these folks to walk by, we'd turn our eyes and go hide. If I saw what I was, I'd go hide from you. That's what he became. And not just becoming that, but suffer the punishment of it. The whole wrath of God. God turned his back on God for a woman of whoredoms. What's the result of all this undeserved great mercy? This wonderful grace of this purchase that was given for us. Look here at our text, Hosea 3. Hosea bought her, and he got her in a car, and he said, "You know everything you put me through? Let me bring up everything you've done in the past that got you here." That ain't what he said, was it? Look here in verse 3. "And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days." This is forever. "Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee." She's going to be bound to him, looking to him only forever. And I can't explain this. How is this possible? With men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Just the same as Hosea was married to one Gomer, he said, "So will I be to thee," to each of his children that he entered that marriage covenant before time began, that he loved before time began, when we didn't love him, equally to each one of them. He will fully and completely be for them. So he promised her in chapter 2. He said, "Do no longer call me master. You call me Isha. You call me husband." And just somebody rules everything. You're going to love me and I'm going to love you equally. I want to see this play out there. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. We'll see this kind of summed up. The Lord's speaking about the restoration of Israel, what he's going to do for them, for his people, his spiritual Israel. And he says in Jeremiah 30, verse 20, "Their children also shall be as before time, and their congregation shall be established before me." He's going to save his people. "And I will punish all that oppress them." Every enemy, every foe is going to be punished. Look down at verse 23. "Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind, and it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it. and until he have performed the intents of his heart in the latter days, ye shall consider it. The Lord's going to punish sin. In the latter days, people will consider these things. Frightening. Everybody's worried about all that, isn't it? They don't read chapter 31, verse 1. Look there. At the same time, all this is happening, this great whirlwind, this wrath, this anger. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. That's what we looked at this morning. A whole family of God. Every one of them given Christ's name, Lord our righteousness. He will be their God. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, because that covenant before, that promise before time, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Lord us to the wilderness. Brought us out there, spoke peace to our hearts. Took us off a slave block, a prostitute. And you know what he will say to us? Look at verse 4. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. Be born anew, given a new spirit, a new nature. O virgin of Israel. It's night and day difference, isn't it? That ain't a cleaned up version of Gomer. O virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with thy taprets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Oh, you're going to rejoice in this. I'm going to make you anew, build you up, and you shall be built. In verses 5 through 9, goes into the rejoicing that's going to take place. And then we see there in verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him up and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Those that are scattered abroad, he allowed to go. Hedge up. He'll put thorns in their path. He'll bring them right to him. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. That law, it's should be terrifying to every man. The sin that's in us we were born with, that should be terrifying to us because it's much stronger than we are. We're not getting a handle on sin. We're not going to attain the law. The separation from God that we had is much stronger than us. But we've been ransomed and we've been redeemed by Him. We've been purchased off an auction block. And we rejoice. And we dance. We sing. We're back in our text there in Hosea 3. It says in verse 4, for the children of Israel, all this happened. This prophet married this woman, took that shame. You know, everybody in town, there wasn't nothing but whispering going on. Did you see Hosea? I bet there's committees upon committees trying to run him out of there. The Lord wouldn't let it happen. All this happened for a purpose. This took place not just for Gomer, not just for Hosea physically, for a purpose. Look here in verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Your whole life, till the Lord comes to you, you're going to be without Him, without God. Verse 5. Afterward, after He comes to us, shows us our lewdness, shows us what we are, breaks our heart, humbles us, makes us to see we're on that auction block, and He purchases us, loves us. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. I wouldn't think it was a good thing if I was in condition physically, if I had to live that. If that was my lot in life, the Lord's providence for me was to be a Gomer physically on this earth. Boy, at the end of it, when you see Him, you see the price it took to buy you, double everything that I've earned. What goodness. Oh, what goodness. I pray throughout our days, as our days get latter, As we grow, the Lord shows us more and more of His goodness. But physically, consider Hosea as prophet and Gomer the prostitute. What scandal. So many people say, oh, I feel sorry for Hosea. I would never be a Gomer. Boy, we're going to have to be Gomers. If you're ever going to meet a Hosea, we'll meet a deliverer. Physically, that's something. Lord's providence. But spiritually, consider. For us Gomers, those who Christ purchased, how meek, how lowly He had to come to pay our price, to purchase us. Brother Henry said, when Hosea got Gomer home, you think he had trouble getting a cup of coffee the next morning? She loved him because he first loved her. That's what it is. All right.